What about the law of love? I want to share the conclusion of this series with you today because it's very important what God has given me to tell you. Let's go back to 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8, and we're looking at the complete Jewish Bible. It says, "Beloved friends, let us love one another, because love is from God." I'm going to show you today what those two statements have to do with each other. "And everyone who loves has God as his Father and knows God. Those who do not love do not know God, because God is love." About three sessions to go in this lesson, we came to the conclusion that we're seeing a pattern in Scripture. This pattern seems to be ongoing, and it's just simply based on this verse of Scripture that tells us that if you don't love others, it's because you really don't know or really don't understand who God is, and I added this, and how He feels about you. If we don't love, it's because we don't really get how God feels about us. Because God is the priority, amen? It's not other people or their feelings toward us, but God is the priority. And just because you may be an individual that has difficulty loving others, you know, one time I was in a church, and unfortunately, this was a very large church. At one time, I seen 200 or 300 people in this church, and I was the worship leader and associate pastor, and we actually saw the pastor's wife run off with the school administrator. So my wife is the school administrator. If I run off that's her, that's okay. But I actually seen that, and I seen the brokenness, and a minister came there for a conference, and he said, "You know what's happened here?" He says, "Once trust has been violated, it becomes the most difficult thing to be restored. When you trust someone and they let you down, it's hard to trust again." So that's been many years ago, probably 25 or more years ago. And in that time, I have learned this, that the only way I can trust those, even in a conversation with those who have hurt me or let me down, is because I trust God to take care of them. What that means is I'm not saying I'm trusting God to get them. What it means is I'm trusting God that whatever they do, that's between them and God. And my reaction to them, even though I've been previously hurt, is also between me and God. And so what happens in this is it simply reveals that you need a greater revelation of God's love and how He feels about you, but also that He died for the whole world. So He loves the whole world enough to send His own Son. Amen. 1 John 5 verse 3 there in your notes says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." Look at that again. "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." Here's the thing about His commandments. The Bible says His commandments are not burdensome. It's not hard to love others when you stop looking through the veil of your emotions. But when we see the cloud of our emotions that says, "I've been hurt, I've been wounded, I've been let down, I've been used, I've been done wrong, and I can't trust." That's the only thing that keeps you from trusting or from loving, is the veil of your emotions. And as I'm preaching this message today, I realize that it's also one day going to be on our website, and I'll be preaching it to the entire world. Emotions can cloud your mind from seeing and doing scriptural truth. And so if our emotions get in the way, we only see how we feel. That's what the veil of emotions do. It shows us only how we feel, and everything we project hits that veil and bounces back, and that's all we see. We don't even see the truth of God's word that can make us free from the veil of human of our emotions, that can tear that veil down, can tear that wall down. And we often, it will cause you to use your personal experiences to interpret to you whether God loves you or not. I mean, I've heard people say this before. Nobody else loves me, and what they're saying is God doesn't even love me. And what it is, it's just not knowing and not understanding how God feels about you. Love is not just a human emotion. We call it a human emotion. I was in the psych ward recently with someone. And secular psychology says that alcohol is a disease. There's not a scripture in the Bible that says alcohol is a disease, alcoholism. It's a spirit. So you deal with the spirit, you don't deal with the disease. Our human emotions cloud us from seeing the truth. But we need to understand that love is not just a human emotion, but it is how God feels. It is the very nature of God. And since the nature of God is to love us, we are fully empowered to love others and to love ourselves. How many ever felt ugly toward yourself? What I mean is, you just said, you know, I just really ain't that valuable. You know what I mean? Why would anybody say, nobody cares about me because you don't feel good about yourself? Well, I want to help you with that today. Loving others is only difficult to those who choose not to love. I'm going to show you how to choose to love today in spite of what your human emotions dictate to you, because love is a choice. John just got done saying his commandments are not burdensome, or in other translations it says they are not grievous. I mean, if you ever looked at the Word of God and you saw, you know what, that's a command from the Lord, and you thought, I don't think I can do that. It became burdensome. It was a chore. You felt it was a chore in your emotions that to do that. Well, here's the thing. We are commanded to love. Now, I want to speak to everyone here today. You are commanded to love. I want right now, if you would, please, in your emotions, go to the person that has hurt you the most, someone in your past that has let you down, someone in your past that really done you wrong, and I want you to weigh that with what I just said, that we are commanded to love. This is Jesus' command to love. And we are to love even as, or based on, the fact that He loves us. Now, I told you I was going to tell you today how to fill this church up. See, we often think, well, you know, why aren't you filling it up, Pastor? Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, we are doing everything we can to share and to witness, and you all have the same responsibility. Isn't that right? Amen. It's up to all of us. We're a team. We're all on the same team. Praise the Lord. But John also said this, behold, friends, in our first verse, he said, let us love one another because love is from God. So what that's telling us then is we are able to love because God is love and God is in us. His love is in us. You know, someone told me one time, and I know I've shared this, Galatians 5 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. I preach it this way. It's not love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, or patience. The fruit of the Spirit is love, period. But everything out of love will flow joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. So if you don't love, your joy won't work. If you don't love, long-suffering, tolerance won't work. If you don't love, patience won't work. So love must be the base or the foundation for us acting on love. And because God's love is in us, the foundation of love, we are able to love if we choose to. I was talking to someone recently, and they said I made up a phrase, and they said I needed to coin this phrase, TTMO, time to move on. I mean, isn't that true? In many of our things we deal with, it's time to move on. We keep lingering in the pain. We keep lingering in the hurt. We keep lingering in the place that holds us down. But at one point in time in our lives, we're going to have to say, that's enough. It's time to move on. It's time to move on and let go of the past. What happens in the past? They're past hurts that cripple you from loving others. You may be a person that has no physical disability whatsoever. You may be able to walk everywhere you want to go. You may not have to use any type of brace of any sort, but yet can still be crippled in your emotions. And that's what past hurts do. They cripple you and keep you from loving others. Someone around the world is hearing this today. Today is a wonderful day. Thank God for beautiful weather. It wouldn't matter if it was snowing or if it was hot outside, but thank God for beautiful weather. But today is a great day to forgive and receive healing for your emotions in any area that has been wounded, so you can move on and move forward into God's plan for you. How many know God has a plan for you? How many knows God's plan's better than your plan? How many understand that the devil hates God's plan? The devil wants to trip you up and keep God's plan from manifesting in your life. God has a plan. Father, God loves you. Everybody say right now, God loves me. Now, you need to mean that and believe that, even if you have to say it by faith this morning. Say, God loves me. Take your finger and point it to yourself and say, God loves me. The only thing that keeps you from loving others is your own experiences or your own memories. Loving others is only as difficult to those, or is only difficult to those who choose not to love. How many know we've all been in situations where somebody really did us wrong? I've been there too. And we go to the favorite place in the world, not just America, but in the world. We go to Walmart. And here we go. We're shopping. We turn down that aisle, and there's that person. We've all done it. Just skip over to the next aisle. We'll go down that person. That person will be done in that aisle. Then I can come around, and I don't have to deal with it. Why is that? Well, sometimes it's because we don't want to deal with the ugliness that was there. But sometimes it's just because, you know what? I've still got pain from what they did, and I just don't want to face them. It's a choice. 1 John 5, verse 3, I want to read it from the Message translation. It says, the proof that we love God, the proof. How do I know I love God, Pastor? The proof that we love God comes when we keep His commandments, and they are not at all troublesome. So what this verse is saying is, how do I know I really love God? Because everybody in the world will go around saying, I love God. You ought to get around sinners, people that do not live for God, have not made Jesus their Lord, and a tragedy strikes. You can find them in an ER waiting room. You can find them in an ICU ward. And all of a sudden, everybody loves God. Don't want to do what His Word says, but everybody loves God. He ain't my Lord, but everybody loves God all of a sudden. Yet this Word says that if you love God, the way you can prove that is that you keep His Word. I want to say this morning. Whether you're a person that's struggling in an area or not, the truth is this. There's a part of you, if not all of you, but there is a part of you that is a mature, grown-up adult. So I want to speak to the mature, grown-up adults today, even that part of you. And I want to say to you that if you love God, I mean, you say you do, but if you love God, do His Word. What does God's Word say? Here's a good one. Forgive. I really don't know if I can do that. Well, you know what? Sometimes I feel the same way. But it's not about whether I can do it. It's about a choice. Amen? I choose to forgive. Why? Because I don't want to reap the whirlwind that comes from living in unforgiveness. So it's not hard to love others when you stop looking through the veil of your own emotions and saying who did what and how they did it and what they said. Because really, that's not as important as the fact that God lives in you and God wants you to love so that you can be healed. And if you're going to love, you also got to forgive. Because I can't approach someone and do that, how you doing, brother or sister, and it just be all phony. How many ever felt this way? You were hugging somebody and they were hugging you and you just felt like what they were doing, just sticking you with a knife in the back. Well, how many know that's not fun? Love is genuine. It doesn't matter what the other person does. You need to be genuine because the love of God is in you. Our emotions house our experiences that we've had with other people. And loving others, again, is only as difficult to those who choose not to love. John says His commandments are not burdensome. They're not hard. In other words, doing God's Word is not burdensome, and it's not hard to do. I've heard people say this for many years, that it's hard to do what God said. Pick out a certain scripture like, you are witnesses unto me, Acts 1, verse 8. And people say, it's hard to witness to other people. No, it's not really. You're bound by the veil of your emotions that says, I can't do it. But God says you can. You have to look at the truth of God's Word and say, God's truth is greater. And if God says I can, well, you know what? I guess I can. Are you hearing me this morning? When we talk about love, many think in terms of how much we love others. I wrote a song years ago for my wife, the only one I ever wrote love songs for. It's called Loving You. And in part of the lyrics I want to read to you, it says, I know it's more than just a feeling, more than pretend or make believe, more than a small infatuation, baby. That's what our love has meant to me. So I want to ask you this morning, What does God's love mean to you? What has God's love meant in your life? Do you find any peace or any security from knowing that God loves you? How has God's love impacted or improved or changed your life? I can tell you that I didn't always grow up feeling loved. I didn't always grow up as a teenager feeling like anybody really cared. I was just, you know, biding my time, getting ready to move on, go on with my life, and wasn't even sure whether anybody cared. But you know what I found out? I found out that God loved me. Do you know that God's love has become more important than what anybody else has done in my life, or whether anybody loves me or not? I'm thankful. I appreciate Brother Greg, and I want to say this openly. I didn't ask him if it was okay, so I'll just take a chance and do this. But there's not a service goes by that he's not personally interested in how I'm doing. There's not a service goes by that regularly he will comment to me and say, you know, thank God for all the people that's being reached all over the world and for the little time we get to have with you too. I mean, that is so special for people to recognize that we're called to reach the whole world. If every church's effort was to reach the whole world, do you understand the world would get evangelized? We love. So love for many is simply a feeling. But feelings are based on emotions that interpret how they think or how we think or feel about others. Often they determine our actions or our reactions toward other people. So why do we act ugly to people? I don't know of a better way to express that. Why do we act ugly to people sometimes? It's not just because people are acting ugly to us. You can say, well, they did it first. How many ever done that? Well, they did it first. Well, is that really an excuse to be ugly back? How many know that just because someone else did it first is not an excuse for you to do it next? Amen? Well, they did it first. Really, what ought to flow out of us is the love of God. I mean, I can tell you that I've talked to different ones, and I can tell you that the way we've stayed in the ministry for over 40 years is because we love. The way we've stayed married for over 40 years is because we love. I mean, love has to be the priority, but God's love really has to be the whole foundation of everything. If we feel loved, then we determine that we are loved. But if we don't feel loved, somehow the human mind, the soul says, you know what? I don't feel loved, therefore I'm not loved. I've heard this conversation before. I don't feel loved. You're saying some mean stuff to me. I don't feel loved. I mean, this happens in all kinds and all levels of relationships. But real love is not based on feelings alone, but a deep knowing on the inside of you that God loves you. And what you do is you get your faith out. You believe that God loves you because God's word says he loves you. Amen. At some point in our lives, the truth of God's word has to become more real to us than the experiences that have been stored up in our minds. God's love is not based on feelings, not necessarily feelings, but purely on the truth that he states in his word about us. I mean, most people divide this book up, and there is some legitimate division in this book as far as part of its history, part of its prophecy, part of its poetry. But if you take the whole book, what do you find in the whole book? This is a love letter written to you. And the basic message of this book is God loves you. From Adam and Eve, God loved them. He cared for his creation. To trying to get the fall and all the mess that came out of that, from Noah to Moses to Abraham. The message is, I just want my people to follow this plan so I can love them and bless them and bring change in their life. It's about his love. In our early Christian experiences, often we base God's love on a feeling. We get born again, and how many know sometimes you feel really good, you get those tingly bumps. We call them Holy Ghost goosebumps. Go up and down your spine, the hair stands up on your arms like, wow, something happened. And it's a feeling at first. But do you know, eventually in our lives as Christians, we've got to get into the Word and find out that it's based on what the Word says. It's based on truth. And so we believe in the truth. How many know we don't always feel like loving, or we don't always feel like returning love? What do? You get the Word out, set your feelings aside. You say, well, that's hard to do, Pastor. Set your feelings aside and be obedient to the Word, because you know it is the truth. Amen. The Bible says, and it's not in your notes, we're going to go on to a passage of Scripture here in a moment, but the Bible says that we're to be doers of the Word, not hearers only, James 1, verse 22. And if we don't be doers of the Word, if we are not doers of the Word, we deceive ourselves. My rendition of that verse is, if you don't do what the Word says, you're cheating yourself out of something that God has for you. So what's the ultimatum? Do the Word! It's not hard. How do you know it's not hard? God said, I can do it! God must always be the man who tells the truth. So if God said I can do it, then I can do it. Amen. All right. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse number 11 from the God's Word translation. And this is a little bit of a hefty passage of Scripture, but let's listen as we read. We're not going to do a lot of commenting on it, but this is a very important passage of Scripture. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let me stop and say this. One thing I had to discover in life, I got married at 4 days after I turned 18. I got married January the 6th, 1973. January the 2nd, I turned 18. January the 1st, the draft for Vietnam stopped. So I missed the draft for Vietnam by one day, because God had a plan for me in the ministry. I was ready to go in the military. But God, I wanted to be a chaplain in the military. But God had a different plan for me. And one thing I had to learn early on is that getting married, even at 18 years old, how many know 18-year-olds don't know everything they think they know? I mean, it's amazing how teenagers become the most intelligent people in the world. But when they get another 10 or 20 years later, they find out mom and dad really did know some stuff. Well, one thing I had to learn when I got married was my wife was not just my wife. My wife was my sister in Christ. That's something I've had to work on and work on and work on and work on. God is love. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's go on verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. How many ever seen God in a dream? I've had the Lord appear to me in a dream. Don't know, can't tell you what he looked like. But the Bible said no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected or matured in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Holy Spirit. When did the Holy Spirit come? At new birth. When did the baptism of the Holy Spirit come? Later on, whenever you asked the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Verse 14. And we have seen in God's Word, that's what he's talking about, we have seen and testify, or we bear witness, that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love, or does not have a perfected understanding of God's love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. God said that. If someone says, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, here's the question, how can he love God whom he has not seen? What a sobering truth from God's very own words. What a wake-up call. God lives in us. If you're born again, God lives in you. If God lives in you, his love lives in you. First of all, we see here that we are to see God through love. We are not to see God. When I was growing up, my dad was a pretty hard man. And I'll just say that. So I grew up with the idea that God, I grew up with hard preaching. How many of you grew up with hard preaching? I grew up with hard preaching. Hellfire and brimstone. Crack the whip. Bust you if you mess up. I was raised up seeing God as this ogre sitting on a throne that if I messed up, God was going to get me. Matter of fact, we even used to pray that. Get him, Lord. I'm glad God doesn't listen to ignorance. What I learned, based on the image that I had of what a hard person was, I viewed God the same way. I had to learn that God was a God of love. God cared about me more than I understood that He cared about me. And so all of the images in my mind that I took of people who were hard and mean and equated that to God, how many understand that was wrong? But the reality is it was because nobody ever told me that God was a God of love. Nobody ever told me how much God loved me. And so we first of all need to see God through love. He's a God who loves us. He cares about you. What a feeling of security. God loves me. Don't care if you don't, but God loves me. I mean, how many know there are people that may not like you? Amen. There are people that may not like what you believe, where you go to church, what your pastor preaches, but you can say, I don't care. God loves me. I don't care what you think. God loves me. Now, I know we're not wanting to be mean to people, but inside you can say that. So first of all, we need to see God through love. Second of all, we are to see other people through God's love. So here I am, and let me tell you the veil that you're supposed to have. Not the veil of the flesh, not the veil of your emotions. Here's the veil, right here in front of your mind, is seeing the Word of God. So what that does then is it eliminates the veil of all the emotions that says, they hurt me, they hurt me, they hurt me, and you see the veil that says, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. Amen. In the New Covenant, God does not appear to us in the form of any type of one who carries animosity toward us. God's not mad at you and I. You say, now, Pastor, what about the Old Testament when He actually sent people to war and they killed people and they gathered the spoils? That was then and this is now. And in the New Covenant, all of the wrath of God was punished in Jesus Christ at the cross. God's not mad at people. You say, but Pastor, I know these people. God really don't like them. God is not mad at people. You know what? We need to quit preaching to people that we're witnessing to and say, you know, God's going to get you. If you don't turn, you're going to go straight to hell. Well, that might be the truth. But wouldn't you rather think that if someone said to you, hey, you know what? God loves you. I mean, you may not feel loved right now, but God loves you. How many know that's more of an enticement to come to know Jesus than you're going to go to hell if you don't change your ways. Do you know what the Bible says? That it's the love of God that draws men to repentance. It's the love of God that draws people. It's not hate. And the message of hate in the church has to become a thing of the past. Thank God it's not in this church. God's not out to get you. Most people that get tripped up, they get tripped up by bad relationships, and they usually trip up themselves. Let me explain that to you. Just because someone does me wrong, how I let that affect me has everything to do with how messed up my life's going to be or how good my life's going to be. I want to tell you how to deal with it. Someone says to you, you're ugly. I tell them, I don't receive that. I'm beautiful in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone says, you're never going to succeed at anything. You tell them, I don't receive that. How many understand what you believe you receive is what you end up becoming? I don't receive that. I'm a success in Jesus. Jesus has called me to be successful. He said if I'd be in the Word, He said I'd make my way prosperous and then I'd have good success. Hallelujah. Amen. God will help people get untripped and straightened out once and for all. Praise the Lord. God does not reveal Himself to anyone through any action except love. That's the action or the emotion of God. God reveals Himself through the language of love. He says, I love you. You're saying, but God, you know how bad I did? God says, I love you. How many know trying to get through that person that you're trying to tell about Jesus, and they're just coming back with all this negative stuff, and you say, but God loves you. And they're saying, but people down here, you say, but God loves you. And you try, yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, that's the way to get through to people, praise the Lord. You get them in the church and let them get trained. I mean, love is the expression that declares, God lives in me. So to declare to someone, God really lives in me, means you got to tell somebody, God loves you. Amen. Now, in closing this morning, we see the consummation of God's love in this statement. He said, love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many realize that when the church is raptured out, or when the end of all of this comes and the earth is no more, that there's going to be a judgment day? And that judgment day is a time. Now, as a Christian, I don't believe we're going to be judged, except for the things we did good or the things we did bad in this life. Just some, you know, some minor stuff there. We'll receive rewards for various things. But how many know that God's not going to say to a believer, depart from me, you who worked iniquity? God's going to say, hey, come on inside. I'm looking forward to that day. But what about this saying that we'll have boldness in the day of judgment? Well, why is that important? How many know this, that he's simply saying that when we stand before God, we can have boldness before God, saying, I loved. They didn't want me to love them, but I loved them anyway. They didn't want to receive love, but I loved them anyway. And so today, you may be saying, how can I love those who treat me wrong? I want to show you how today. See, God's love is in you and cannot simply be an emotion, but it's an act of faith. How many know if you love someone, you trust them by an act of faith? When people get married, I remember when Faye and I got married. Now, I may be an exception to the rule, and I may not. I've never believed in love at first sight. I always believe love had to be cultivated. Relationships have to be cultivated. And for the most part, that's true. But I was praying for a wife at 17 years old. You say, that's a little young. Well, yeah, those other people thought so too. But I was praying for a wife at 17 years old. And I walked into this church one day. Bam! My wife comes in the back door. And I mean, it was as though, you ever seen, you know, it's like everything else just hazed away. And there was Faye. I loved her the second I saw her. I knew that she was going to be my wife. That's why 2 months later I asked her to marry me. 2 months after that we got married. That was 4 months of knowing each other. Never met her before in my life. Been 40, almost 41 years. So you see, the reality is that it can't just be a human emotion. It's got to be a God thing. But what happens the short time after you're married and all of a sudden a problem occurs? You have to love by faith. Sometimes you say, I just don't know if I can do this. Do you know pastors go through that same thing with congregations? I mean, we don't have the same congregation we had last year or 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 4 years ago. It keeps changing, but we just keep loving. Why? Because it's in us. I mean, if you know God's love is in you, it's like it's hard to hold it back. I gotta love. Hallelujah. And so love is purely an act of obedience by faith. Praise the Lord. There's no other way to express the love of God except by an act of faith. So how do I approach a stranger and tell them God loves them? By faith. How many know you're sitting there in the parking lot and you say, okay, I know there's some people in there. I got to go tell somebody that Jesus loves them. And you open the car door by faith. You take the first step out of the car by faith. You get your Bible track or whatever you're taking with you by faith. And you're thinking, somebody's going to make fun of me. Somebody's going to reject me. Nobody likes rejection. Nobody likes rejection. But just remember this, the greatest rejection that ever took place is when Jesus was rejected as the Son of God and they nailed him to a cross to kill him, not to make him the Savior of the world. They nailed him to the cross to kill him. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again and became the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Because of his rejection, you can throw it over on him and say, he was rejected for me. I don't have to take on those feelings. John said, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? You see, the ability to love will always be based on your understanding of how much God loves you. So I want to tell you today, if I were to give you a homework assignment, it would be this. Go home, get the scriptures out, and find out just how much God really does love you. God loves you. And until you're convinced of that, it will be difficult to act in love toward others. Galatians 5 verse 6 says that even your faith works by love. How many know this, that if we don't exercise the love of God at all, in all matters, all situations, with all people, your faith will not work accurately. How many believe that we're living in a day and time when we need our faith to work accurately? Amen. I need my faith to work every time I release it. Praise the Lord. Look at 2 John 1 verse 3. We're almost finished this morning. It says, goodwill, mercy, and peace will be with us. They come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, who in truth and love is the Father's Son. So God is love. The second thing I want to tell you is that He loves you. God loves you, church. And the third thing I want to tell you, He also loves everybody else, the people you've had fallen out with. He loves them. And you know what? He wants you to love them. Amen? How many ever had kids that done you wrong? How are you supposed to feel about that? Tina Turner did a song that said, what's love got to do with it? God. I always say, what's feelings got to do with it? It's an act of faith. It's not based on my feelings, because how many know most of us, we just pull the covers up over our head and shut the alarm off and stay in bed some days. Amen? And we just not come to the office or go to work or deal with anybody, just keep the door shut all day and say, I don't want to deal with the world because I have feelings. We all have feelings. But thank God that the Holy Spirit lives in us, and as we open up to Him, He's able to continually heal our feelings. The only thing, again, that keeps people from loving others is your memories from the experiences of being let down. How many here can say today, I don't want to be let down again? I understand that as a pastor, if I allow myself, next month, next year, we may have a flood of people come in here and half of them go back out and my feelings will be let down. So I can't get involved. What I mean is I can't get my feelings involved. I can't get my feelings involved with who's going to hurt me next. I mean, that's like going around saying, I'm just wondering where they are. I know somebody's going to hurt me next. I wonder who it is. Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? How many of that will drive you nuts? Forgive the expression. Drive you insane. How many know that insanity declared by Albert Einstein was doing the same thing over and over again, expecting the same result, a different result each time? When we do the same thing, we're going to get the same result. So if it's not working for you, how many know we need to change what we're doing or change what we're saying? Praise the Lord. How many know God has never let you down? Amen. Jesus came to lift you up as He was lifted up on the cross. So the big question today, and we're going to pray a prayer together in a moment before we stop the CD. The big question is the same. I've been asking this question. Will you allow God to love someone else through you? I mean, do you understand God wants to use you as a vessel for His service? God wants to use you. You may be saying today, and if we had a thousand people in an auditorium today, I'd be saying the same thing. You may be saying, but how can I be used for God? I don't have a pulpit ministry. I don't have a specific regular job assignment. How can God use me? How about the multitudes of hurting people you run into every day? You know, I have people come to me, whether online or in town or wherever, and say, you know, I went through this horrific physical battle one time. You know, the worst thing I could do is tell them how bad my battle was. Let them tell their story. Then pray for them. Say, you know what? I know for a fact God can heal you right where you are. Make a choice today. to become a vessel used by God. You know what that is? That's a vessel of honor. You are a vessel of honor, and God wants to use you to bring healing to someone's life who is hurting by sharing the love of God with them. How many knows, we talked last week, fear is the only thing that can keep you from ministering to wounded people. Won't you let God heal your past? TTMO, time to move on. Won't let you let God help you let it go? You say, but I still remember. Can I just tell you something? I've been through many things in my life. I'm 50, almost 59 years old, and I remember a lot of things. They don't have any pain attached to them. You can't, God, the only one that can erase memories is God. But what God can help you to do is choose to forgive and allow Him to heal the pain. What happens when the pain is healed? I still have the memory, unless God takes it away, but I just don't have the pain associated with it. How many know that's a good bargain? Amen? Praise the Lord. What are you needing from God today? What are you expecting God to do for you? Maybe you need a fresh start today in certain areas of your life. Are you ready for God to do a fresh work in you today? I'm so ready. Amen. I am so ready. I want to ask you to do something with me today. If anything in this message has challenged you, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. We're just going to pray this and offer it up to the Lord today. And I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to lead you in it. Just a very short prayer. And so I want everybody here, if you would just join in and say this with me. As I am becoming grounded in the truth of your word, I am learning to walk in your love toward those who have let me down, toward my family and toward my friends, toward my brothers and sisters in Christ, and even toward strangers. They need to know that Jesus loves them, the one that I love, and the one who loves me. So I declare this by faith. Today I choose to love others, and I do it by the power and by the authority of the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this today?